puts it on. Pierce out the back. Kiri's been a problem all night. Here's Mitchell with a thin. Mitchell's on his way. Mitchell's on his way. Latrell Mitchell. He scores behind the uprights. Latrell Mitchell has grabbed a 22-all scoreboard.
Well, this is incredible. But cometh the hour, cometh the young superstar.
Roosters fans, doesn't that deserve the big intro? And the big intro it got last week, Fortress Allianz, we're all out there. In the first half, we thought we were certainties to put a big score on the Broncos. In the second half, our hearts sunk deep into Rooster territory as the Chook Pen, the members stand, chairmans, and the whole of the downstairs public arena were in shock. The Broncos took the lead. Well, I tell you what, Silky, the faithful, they stayed strong. They kept it there. We sat around the other side. You and I had to walk. We walked from the Captain's Club, and we got to the other side, and just as we did, we stopped, we paused, we hugged a few Roosters fans that had their fingers crossed, and before you know it, Kiri, you heard it there, I can't do it as good as Ray Warren, I won't insult him by trying to, but my God, a superstar is born. Latrell Mitchell, stand up, Roosters fans love you, we love you, and welcome to Roosters Radio. It's finals time, baby.
What a game it was there at Allianz on Friday night. Over 20,000. And it was great to see so many of our Roosters faithful coming out to support. Look, you've already said it, Bush. We started like a house on fire that first 20 minutes. Isaac Liu, I said it on this program
best player
a couple of weeks back. He's been our best forward, consistently our best forward for the last few weeks. Jared Warrior Hargraves, I thought, was outstanding as well. Of course, Boyd Cordner. But the back line, they clicked. Luke Keary had an unbelievable game, I thought.
Amazing.
Latrell Mitchell. And also, I just want to give a shout out. I thought his first 28 minutes was his best all year. Aidan Guerra. Great performance.
What a performance by Aidan Guerra. He was on Roosters Radio last week. He talked about the friendships, the bonds, and how he wants to leave this club, how he didn't want to leave the club, but circumstances in the game, they caused this. But I tell you what he's going to do. He wants to leave a winner, and it's so exciting for our fans.
Bush, one of the biggest takeaways I got out of that interview with Aidan last week was where he said they were going to look back at the losses over the last couple of years in finals week one. He said they'd learnt from that. And if you look at the playing group, a lot of those players, and particularly the leadership group, have been there since, you know, 2013. It was a great point he made. And the way that they hung in when the chips were down, they could have dropped their heads, but they didn't. And they found a way to win.
They found a way to win. And that's exactly what we haven't done in the last couple of final series where we have gone out in that first game. I think we were composed, but I got to tell you, Latrell Mitchell. I mean, it's got to be spoken of. I mean, it's been spoken of so much. You heard the commentary. You heard what Gus Gould said at the start, the little snippet, courtesy and thank you to our good friends at Channel 9. What a wonderful job he did. But Luke Keary, Liu, onto Keary, onto Latrell. Three of the best players on the park besides Aidan and JWH last week. Kicking game, I think, needs to be mixed up. I think they're going to be doing some work on that. It's the elephant in the room. We don't bag our players. We don't bag our club. But I think the boys will go away and look at what the Broncos did with their kicking game and go, we need to mix it up a bit.
Mate, I bumped into one of the players earlier this week and they were so grateful for getting the week off. It's no secret that the week off, players get that extra week to rest. We know most teams are carrying niggling injuries. Mm. So looking forward to the week off. Looking forward to seeing who we're playing. Obviously, we're taking on the winner of the Parramatta and the Cowboys. Look, I'd rather play Parramatta. They've been the form side running in. Having said that, Jason Taumalolo's performance the other night was unbelievable.
Amazing.
But look, I don't care who we play as long as we get to the big dance.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I'll tell you what, Silky, the fans actually come good the other night. The fans stuck by.
Yeah, hats off to all the supporters who made the effort to get there.
Yeah, it was a big ground, it was a big stadium, and it looked outstanding. There could be more, though. Let's call for more if we get another opportunity.
It's a fortnight's time. We've got 2 weeks. Then we take on the winner of Parramatta and the Cowboys. Let's better that crowd that we got there last Friday night.
What was exciting for us was the Captain's Club and, you know, speaking to Anthony Minicello, our 302-game superstar, you know, he spoke about what it takes to win these finals, what it takes to win the games and the little differences in those little 1% plays and looking back on those losses. And I think right through the club, through the office, through the coaching staff, through the players, even through the fans, everyone knew what we had to do and we did it.
What has really impressed me since Friday night, a lot of people talk about how the Roosters haven't played a continuous 80 minutes of high-quality football. But I noticed in one press conference where Robbo said, but we're still winning. We haven't hit our straps yet, and we seem to be finding the clutch plays at the right time. You know, there's a record out there. I think we've won about 12 or 13 games by less than 6 points. It's a record. It's never been done before. That's what I like. We've still got room to improve, and hopefully it's going to happen within the next 2 weeks. Bush, we've got a real big show tonight. Look, Wyong Roos are playing a grand final qualifier against the Auckland Warriors this weekend at Leichhardt Oval. We're going to talk to one of our young guns, Nat Butcher, who was captain of the under-20 side last year. He's had a bit of a frustrating season with injury and whatnot this season, but he's ready. He set up one of the winning tries in extra time last weekend against Canterbury, so we'll be talking to him on this week's show.
Yeah, we've also got Bill Healy, our chairman of our junior league. Paddington Colts, my beloved Paddington Colts, took out the under-16s Division 1 Conference New South Wales Conference Championship on Sunday evening, 5 p.m. Campbelltown Stadium. We want to talk to him about that success, the success of the minis, and of course we finished the show with none other than the great Roosters legend, assistant coach Craig Fitzgibbon, giving his take on the finals and what it's going to take us to get there. What a show, Silky. You're on Roosters Radio, Silky and Bush.
Radio Hub is Australia's premier podcasting facility. With high-quality sound equipment and production services, Radio Hub is a one-stop shop for all your podcasting needs. So, if you're ready to jump into the exciting realm of podcasting, contact Radio Hub on 0402 870 900 or email info@radiohub.com.au.
Well, Silky, right throughout the club, we've got depth and talent, but I would say to you, of all the years I've been watching, following, you know, the Roosters, this man's exciting. He's an excitement machine and he's coming through and he's playing this week against the Warriors for the Wyong Roos, our feeder club. And I can safely say that he comes with a great pedigree. 2014 Australian schoolboy. He's played NYC Holden Cup. He's won a premiership for the NYC. He was the RLPA Lock of the Year. You know, the list goes on. His trophy cabinet's full already and he's not even 20. Would you please welcome to Roosters Radio, Nat Butcher. Natty, you there?
Yep, speaking.
Yes, mate. Well, welcome to Roosters Radio and... mate, great career so far. Can you talk us through, you know, your rise at the Roosters and, you know, from last year to you know, the grand final against the Panthers, right through to now playing this week against the Warriors?
Yeah, well, I come to the club at January 2015 and didn't finish the preseason with the 20s. Had the year with the 20s there, but sadly got injured in round 7, which put me out for pretty much the rest of the year, except I'd just come back for round 26. I was lucky enough to play and get in the team round that week and played that week and then I played against the Warriors the week after. And then that led into my first grade pre-season after the 2016 season. Trained with grade, worked a lot with Steve Mack and really got a lot out of that and the training there. And then played 20s for 2016. Was lucky enough to make the 20s State of Origin team that year And yeah, I guess we had a really good year in the 20s, you know, eventually winning the comp and also got my first grade debut that year. And then towards the season, the shoulder was pulling up a bit sore, the same one that I did in 2015. And so I got scans at the end of the year and that showed that I needed to get surgery. So I got surgery at the end of the season and then that put me out for a lot of the preseason, but was still lucky to get some good training done and came back round 5 this year and did my other shoulder. Yeah. But the scan showed that it was only a little tear, so I was able to just rehab that and strap it and brace it for for the rest of the season. And, yeah, I've had no problems since with it. But, yeah, this year I've played a mix of 20s, reserves for Wyong and first grade. So, yeah, this year's been a bit all over the shop, but it's been good to play the back end of it with Wyong and get into the finals and to be in the position that we are now playing Warriors on the weekend.
Now, it's no secret it's been a frustrating year, as you mentioned. You can throw in a couple of concussions too. Mate, I just want to take you back. Just watching you play, I've often referred to you as a young Brad Clyde now. I know you're only a young bloke, but who do you base your game on? You've got a lot of offloads in you. You're great attacking. You're constantly doing hit-ups. Who do you base your game around?
I'm not sure. I don't think I'd say I'd really base my game off anyone in particular. I just sort of go out there and play the footy that I've known how to play and just do what I can for the team.
Nat, you know, you've got some influences there in your dad, Blake, and your uncle, Sean, that both played, you know, first grade. You know, how much of an influence are they on your career and how much advice do they give you?
Well, Dad's been a huge influence on my career. Growing up, he helped me a lot. He was my coach for a few of the teams. So, yeah, he helped me and gave me a lot of pointers and stuff to work on to improve my game. And, yeah, well, Sean, I haven't had much to do with Sean, but I've got another uncle, Justin. He's helped me a lot too, just to critique some small areas of my game.
Mate, what was it like making your debut last year for first grade against the Broncos?
Yeah, it was a pretty surreal feeling, just stepping out on the field. You know, you're playing against people with people that you grew up watch playing and you idolised, and they were your heroes. So, yeah, it was a real honour to make my first grade debut and to play for the club.
And obviously, it's no secret, Kane Evans, Aiden Guerra moving on next year. You must be eyeing off one of those back rower spots?
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, that that opportunity comes next year. But yeah, I'm really just focused on now having a good final series for Wyong and playing some good footy. And then, yeah, I guess I'll work out those goals in pre-season next year.
Nat, speaking of Wyong, and this week we take on the Warriors and, you know, They're a formidable side. It's going to be a tough victory. You know, 2 weeks ago you threw a beautiful ball there to get us over the line. Nice little pass.
Mitch
Cornish to get the chocolates. And you must be very proud of that. But, you know, trophies don't last long in weeks of rugby league. This week's a big game against the Warriors. How do you see it?
Yeah, well, that's it. We've had a two-week preparation for this game, so we're really looking forward to playing. We had a few good sessions last week and really looking forward to playing the Warriors. We played them a couple of weeks ago and finish with a draw, so it should really be a good game. But we're just looking, yeah, obviously to play our best footy and get the win.
Well, mate, we want to wish you all the best out there at Leichhardt on Saturday, grand final qualifier, and hopefully we'll see you at the big dance in the Sunday long weekend.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for that. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for spending time on Roosters Radio. Well, Silky, very impressive young man, and I think your statement it would be, you know, fits well with Natty and, you know, I don't think it's any secret for Roosters fans. I don't think it's a secret for the coaching
staff. Look, we've all seen him play. You know, he tops the hit-ups. Oh, he's always at the top of the offloads, and he's always there about in the tackle count as well. He's just a well-rounded footballer.
I'm excited to see his development in first grade. As you've seen, you know, we spoke to Aiden Guerra last week. He's leaving our club after 7 years, and you've seen what he did when he come from Melbourne and, you know, come to the Roosters and the way he developed. And he talked about 2013 being a breakout year. I'm rapt to hear young Nat talk about this year being mixed. He's been in the 20s. He's been under Rip Taylor at Wyong. Yeah. He's been around some great players, Aloni Vinakusi, you know. You know, you've got all that great, young, exciting Wyong team with so many great, you know, Joseph Manu, who's been up and down in first grade and back to Wyong. So he's getting a lot of his learnings, and I think you're going to see that transpire. I love the Brad Clyde comparison. When you said it, I just went, wow. Well, fans, coming onto our show, as we said, is one of our favourites. He's a legend at our club. I'll tell you what, you'd love to have him in this final series. Would you please welcome to Roosters Radio, Craig Fitzgibbon. Fitz, are you with us?
Yes, boys. How are you?
Very well, mate. Thanks for coming on. Fitz, man, I'm going to kick it off. What was the feeling like in the sheds after last week's win?
It was quite, you know, it was quite measured. Obviously, a little bit of relief that we actually got the win by letting him back into the game. But, you know, a couple of probably tries you wouldn't bank on, but you would have thought that at the end of the game, if we end up at 4-2, would have been a fair reflection of the game. And if you can keep Brisbane in the semi-final to 2 tries, I think we did pretty well. But, you know, only like we can, we let them back into it. And So there's a bit of relief there, but the one thing you would say about us is the boys are really finding a way to get it done when they're under pressure at the end of games. I think we've had a really good season in icing the games when we're under the pump at the end, and that's a pretty good trait going into the semis.
Yeah, so Fitzy, from an overall performance, I mean, none of the players didn't lose shape. No one panicked. We seemed to just be very composed getting to that win. How do you rate the performance?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Like you said, composure is a good word. It's definitely a handy word for semi-finals footy. And you're right, even though we let them back into it, we didn't really get rattled. We just, as soon as we managed to get the ball back, we went about our business and got our set on and executed the set just like we needed to do. So to do that under pressure was, that's a pretty good thing to see from your team at this time of year. And we'll enjoy the week off and hopefully, refresh. Statistically speaking, it's a good thing to have the week off, but we just need to make sure we use it the right way and come in swinging against whoever the week after.
Fitzy, as part of the coaching staff there at the Roosters, you must be getting sick and tired of hearing journos talking about the Roosters not playing 80 minutes and playing in patches. What do you say to that?
It's bloody hard. It's really hard, dude. Who is? I mean, like, Melbourne have been the most consistent team all year. And, they got rattled up the other day a little bit by Parramatta. And, there's been periods in a game. It's nigh on impossible these days to control a game for the full 80 minutes. It's just teams are too good. And you give away a bit of possession, give away a bit of field position and a couple of penalties, and you're under the pump. It's just, there's footy, the footy's getting thrown around a little bit more in the middle of the field this year, probably more so than other years. And, it's just the game's a little bit more open, so you just have to chew down on those periods and just know that you can come out the other side.
Now, mate, one of the highlights for me over the last few weeks, and I think we brought him up last time we spoke, was Isaac Liu. I think he's been our best forward consistently for about the past month. What are your thoughts on his style of play and the way he's playing at the moment?
Yeah, diehard fans would have rated him highly for a long period of time now. He's been exceptional for a few years. But the thing with Isaac, again, he's probably come in and played lock, gone back out, played off the bench and played front row and sort of moved his way between front row and lock roles, which are quite similar. But he's all of a sudden just found himself in that starting lock role and gone after it. And, it's really impressive to see a guy who's, understands he's got an opportunity in his hands at the moment. And he's really, really taking grips on that number 13 jersey. And I think last week was, under the pressure of the game in the semi-finals, he's had his best game in the hardest game of the year. So that's pretty impressive.
Not only that, mate, but the confidence with which he's playing. His offloads, he's passing before the line. He's got that, ability to jink off either leg. He's getting through the line too. There's just so much to like about the way he's playing at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. The most, he's an extremely underrated defender too. He keeps it really. We've got Jared and Dylan in the middle with him who, they love the physical confrontation and just Isaac cleaning everything up in and around him and supporting those guys is important for us. But, if you have a look at the try, that Latrell Mitchell set up, it was off a pass from Isaac that started the play. He actually passed the play before and then reloaded, passed the ball again for the play after to move the defensive line around and give Latrell the minuscule piece of space that he needed to ice the game.
Fitzy, well, you've segued in my question beautifully. That moment, I mean, look, there's much written about Latrell. He's only a young fella. At 20 years of age, to have the presence of mind and the physical ability to just brush James Roberts off like he was a ball boy. Sorry about that, former ball boy yourself. It was a great moment, and I think it'll find itself on the highlights reels. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves yet. It's something maybe we'll look back at the end of the year and go, it's even greater. But you must rate that pretty high with your experience.
Yeah, what we're really happy with Latrell about is, look, the physical side of things was never in question. I think we all saw the physical attributes of the boy last year when he's created. And going, if he doesn't create, he finishes off those opportunities. But the thing that's impressed us this year, he had a rough start to the year, had 5 weeks or a month of 5 weeks in reserve grade, and missed some representative fixtures that he probably would have been a part of and it hurt him. But his response to that was to come in and knuckle down, work hard, and moment. And he, the thing about Latrell is quite humble. He knows that he's still got a lot of work to do, so it's scary to think where he might end up if he keeps working as hard as he is.
Fitzy, final question, mate. I'm going to put you right on the spot. What do we need to improve, and what's it going to take to win the GF?
Oh, I think, you know, we need to improve possibly some, you know, in attack, probably just completions. We were really high last week, which kept us in the game. In defence, we just let a couple of tries through with kicks there that we probably usually defend quite well. So, you know, our last play defence and I think controlling of the game and not allowing those periods that we talked about earlier to end up in points. Like, every team's going to have a period against us, but we just need to ensure that when they do get that time, we don't concede points. And I think we've got enough footy in us, and if we control those areas, we'll be in a good spot.
Well, Fitzy, as always, we appreciate your time on Roosters Radio. And just finally, mate, there's about a 10 to 12 foot swell coming this weekend. You've got the weekend off. Are you going to reveal where you'll be dipping your toes in?
Oh, I'd be lying if I said I'm not on the computer right now looking at a long-range forecast for a little trip down the coast. Silky, it might be a little weekend down the coast, I think.
Oh, well, mate, you enjoy it, and I hope you get shacked. Fitzy, thanks for joining us on Roosters Radio, mate.
Good, man. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Fitz, man. There you have it, fans. What a great bloke to talk to. I mean, he's done it all in the game. He's just, you know, he's so composed himself. But, you know, great leadership comes with great men. And I tell you, the players must really love being under someone so calm. And, you know, what he brings to this club, I think, you know, is so valuable.
Look, he's been here for a long time now. And anyone who's had the privilege of being in his company knows how good a bloke he is and how measured he is. He, you know, he led by his actions on the field. He's a great integral part of that coaching department in the defence. And look at how well our D has been over the past 6 weeks.
Yeah, and I think what he said there is exactly right. We said it in the start of the show. A win's a win. You're in finals. It's what someone, there has to be a loser. It comes down to golden point. So you know what? He has just made the statement for Roosters fans to give us the confidence. You saw what happened with Melbourne and Parramatta. You saw what happened with the Cowboys and Cronulla. Mate, we're a big chance of shaking this thing. I don't want to put the mocker on us, but I tell you what, I'm really confident, and I think our boys are confident.
If you need your office spick and span, your carpets cleaned, your toilets glam, or your plumbing checked by a maintenance man, call Fit Services. If your outdoors too have been neglected, your car park needs painting, your garden's protected, your pathways swept, or a new fence erected, call Fit Services. Maybe you need something built brand new, an office refurbishment, an extension or two, or an AC system with ducting right through. Call Fit Services. Fit Services. Quality services, second to none. Call 1-300-011-011.
Welcome back to Roosters Radio, fans. And on the line, Silky, we've got a bit of a special rooster. He has been with this club forever. He is a player of the 70s. He's been a junior reps coach. He's coached our 21s back in the day when it was 21s. He's been a player, coach, administrator, and a board member at the club. He is currently the chairman of the Sydney Roosters Junior Rugby League. He's a great man. He's a lot of fun. And would you please welcome to Roosters Radio on debut, Bill Healy.
Welcome, Bill.
Good evening. Good evening, Craig. Evening, Silk.
That's a pretty big lead in. Firstly, we bumped into you at the Roosters final game of the season at the Titans, and you know, it must have been good to catch up with some of your old playing mates.
Yeah, well, it was great for me because there were guys there that I played with, like Johnny Byrne and, you know, John Mackay. But also, when you're as old as me, there's guys that you also coached. So there was a lot of kids from, well, they're not kids now, but they're guys from that team I coached in 89, like Jason Tassel and Grant Hyde and
Stevie Deacon.
Jimmy Smith, Stevie Deacon, Jimmy Smith. So it was great to see them. But probably the high point for me was that we used it to recognise the great 1967 side. So to chase up and meet some of the guys that I used to watch on the hill on a Sunday, that was probably the most rewarding part of the whole afternoon.
Billy, on that note, we talked about a great Jack Gibson story that you had, and we asked you if you'd talk about that on Roosters Radio, and a lot of our Roosters fans like to reflect. Can you tell us a bit about that Jack Gibson story?
Well, I was lucky. I started at the Roosters in 76 at the tail end of that great period when we won the two premierships, so I had the pleasure of being around Jack and understanding the aura of the man. But one of the guys that we found as part of that 67 side was a guy, Gavin Crofton, who'd played a lot of football in the bush and in the country. And people forget, or don't forget, that we didn't win a game in 66, and we hadn't won many games in 65 or 64. And when they invited Jack to be the coach, Jack went around and tried to find the best talent that he could. And he knew Gavin was a pretty tough character, but he was only 11-6, and he started off as a lock, but he ended up playing front row on the ground in the final series against blokes like Kevin Ryan and people like that. But the best story about Jack was he ran into Gavin and he said, look, I wouldn't mind you coming to play for me. And Gavin tells the story. He said to Jack, well, Jack, let me think about it. And Jack, with a couple of expletives, said, well, don't think about it too long, son. So Gavin let it know that he either said yes straight away or Jack would be looking for another player. But he certainly added to that team. He was a real... He was a classic Jack Gibson player, Gavin. He was a real journeyman. He made his tackles and took the ball up, and he was the sort of player Jack loved.
Now, Billy, moving into the now, in your role with the Sydney Roosters Junior Rugby League as the chair, we spoke to our CEO, Joe Kelly, the other week, and he spoke so highly of the growth in the eastern suburbs catchment area opposed to, if you compare it to a lot of the other New South Wales Rugby League areas. Can you touch on that for us?
Yes, Cooper. It's probably well known that we had a long-standing relationship with Souths to play combined competitions, but for several reasons they decided not to renew that last year. So it left us in a bit of a quandary as to how we deal with things. We made a decision that we'd try and resurrect our minis, which is 6, 7s and 8s, and play that in a central location at Waverley Oval on a Sunday morning every week. We formed an alliance with Balmain for our mods, which is 9s, 10s, 11s and 12s. And then our international teams played in a combined comp with Souths and Balmain. And I'm really pleased to see the results. We've had virtually 98% of, we've just got the results of the survey, 98% of the mini parents are incredibly complimentary of the fact that it was within the local area, that they didn't have to travel. They knew where they had to be. There's been some hiccups with some of the travel to Balmain, but we've had discussions with them and we'll address those next year. So all in all, I think the real challenge now is to make sure we keep young people playing the game. And of course, the other thing is we had a great success this week when our under-16 team from Paddington Colts won the best of the best competition out at Campbelltown and beat a very powerful Campbelltown side. Right. And I have to say, they're an exceptionally good team.
The bloke opposite me, he's got his shirt off, tied around his head, doing some big woohoo signs. He's a very proud president of the Paddington Colts. Has Bush over that result?
Yeah, well, I'm pleased to say one of the coaches played in my side, although I don't think he fancied me very much as a coach, Troy Ruggles, but anyway, but hopefully something rubs off him.
Yeah,
they were an exceptionally... good side, and their performance, particularly their defence, which was a real tribute to the coaching staff.
Yeah. And Billy, from what I see, I don't think, because you coach me at Matthew Shield, I don't think Ruggo based his halftime speech on what he learned from you either, because it was some colour there. Now, moving on.
Well, I was always
passionate.
I would rarely use expletives. You might recall, Craig, I was a very cultured.
You were cultured.
I thought you were mentored by my old man. He was full of them in the dressing room, Bill.
That was playing. Now, Billy, Roosters Broncos Friday night. As a long term Rooster, you've played great at the Roosters. You've been a coach, administrator. You've developed some great young talent. You've been on the board. You're now the chair of the Roosters Juniors. You must have been on the edge of your seat. How did you feel when Latrell Mitchell got that ball and bounced over the try line?
Well, I did jump up in the air. I have to say, for a number of family reasons, I couldn't get to the game. But I think it's a sign of a good team that they can be under that sort of pressure. And I know Trent made this observation at the end of the game and come back. I mean, they've done that now several times over the last six or seven games. I prefer them not to be in that position.
Yeah.
Firstly, he's a special talent. The way he accelerated once he pushed off his opposing centre, and you just don't know what's ahead of that kid. He's just going to be something very, very special.
Yeah.
Look, I just hope that they retain discipline. I think from time to time we know that they do switch off, but that seems to have been addressed. I felt they were very hardly done by against Melbourne. I thought that they just got savage with penalties they didn't deserve. And I think some players are being penalised now for past indiscretions, and particularly Jarrod Weir-Hargreaves. I think he's playing the best football I've ever seen him play, and the most disciplined football. So if we get a fair run with the referees, I think that there's every chance we'll be in the grand final against Melbourne, and I think that we've got the team and the game to beat Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah, couldn't agree more, Billy. Billy,
all I hope is we're there. Right?
Yeah, that is for sure. Well, Billy, we've loved having you on. We appreciate the job you did. We note that you come in and really stabilised that junior league. We started out our campaign in November last year, and we're under the guidance of our former CEO John Lee. And mate, as it would have it, he was replaced, and they put you in as chairman. And I think you've done a great job. I think the parents are happy, the clubs are happy, and loving the success of the Roosters Juniors. Thanks very much for coming on Roosters Radio.
Can I just say, just wait before I go, we're very much maligned about the level of support we give our junior league. Senior club spends $250,000 a year supporting our local juniors.
Yes.
And the kid doesn't have to spend a cent to play rugby league in our area.
Wholeheartedly agree.
Not many NRL clubs provide any funds to their junior leagues. I mean, if you go in the Broncos or your Manlys or your Newcastles or your Cronullas, none of them are investing in their junior leagues. And Souths, of course, get it through Souths Juniors, but it's certainly not the Rabbitohs NRL club. So, it's a real commitment to community rugby league, and I think the senior club should be acknowledged for that.
Yeah, no, I agree, and they do a great job. Well, Billy, thank you so much for spending time on Roosters Radio.
No worries, guys. It's always a pleasure. See ya.
Go the Roosters. Great interview, Silky. Bit of an insight with Jack Gibson. It's a great story, isn't it? You just hear those reflections of, the enigma that is Jack Gibson, and it's always great to catch up with a lot of, the old coaches and players, and obviously Bill Boone.
Well, I was a ball boy when Bill was coaching there in 89.
Yeah.
So, and he's an old Bondi United boy as well. So, know Billy very well.
Yeah, from your proud club. And, mate, doing a good job with the Sydney Roosters Junior Rugby League. Well, Silky, I'm off to Texas, as you know. And, mate, should be just taking the week off, just sort of get ready for the following week in the final.
Bush, I cannot wait to see your 30 kilos lighter at the Captain's Club on Saturday week.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But anyway, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to the game, whoever we may play.
That's exactly right. Special mention, Wyong Roos. They're playing Saturday afternoon at Leichhardt Oval. We wish them and Coach Rip Taylor all the best. Let's make it a first grade and reserve grade grand final. You've been listening to Roosters Radio. We want to thank our special guests, Nat Butcher, Bill Healy, and of course, assistant coach Craig Fitzgibbon. That's it for this week's show. East to win.
East know how to play the game. They play it hard and fair. Know how to win the game, they give more than their share. They're great to see in action, these boys who show the way. Put the Roosters on the field, they'll show you how to play. Here come the Roosters, the best we've ever seen. The red, white Roosters, the Eastern Suburbs team. East to win, shout out the cry, let everybody know. If you play this football game, beware the Roosters. Grow. They're great to see in action.